This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the hero's journey. Today we're going to be talking about the call to adventure, part one, probably, because I don't think I'm going to cover all of this today. Now, the hero's journey, as we talked about last week, and if you want to be up to date on this whole discussion, I suggest you listen to last week's episode, because I talked about what is the hero's journey and what is really a hero. And this I will be constantly refreshing, resetting our understanding of what it really means to be heroic. And always remember, brothers and sisters, that you are the hero of your own journey. And that's something we're going to keep on reminding ourselves of over and over again. So the hero's journey, I'm not going to repeat what I talked about last time, but let's talk about the call to adventure. So the first part of the hero's journey is the call to adventure. And you can say that this part, or this stage one of the journey of the hero, is divided into four bits. So first of all, the ordinary life. That's where it all starts, an ordinary life. The second part is the call. And the third part is the refusal of the call. And the fourth part is the push, the thing that pushes the person to start the adventure, to accept the call. So we probably won't get time to cover all of those in today's episode. But first of all, I want to talk about the first part, the ordinary life. So in a sense, brothers and sisters, the ordinary life is the life we're born into. It's the way the world is that surrounds us. And it probably doesn't need much explanation, an ordinary life. What is an ordinary life? But it really very often is exactly the thing that people resist wanting to have changed the most. Even if that ordinary life is really appalling, if people get used to living that life enough, and they used to get living that way for long enough, it becomes normalized for them. And it's very interesting to see that many people, when abuse becomes normalized for them, when oppression becomes normalized for them, when wrongdoing and tyranny becomes normalized for them, they actually strangely resist changing it. It's almost as if they want to stay in that horrible place. And that's really partly because human beings, we are incredibly adaptable. We're incredibly good at surviving in all sorts of different situations. And one of the ways that we do that is that we sort of conform to the situation or the environment in which we're in, and we sort of accept it as a baseline. And yet, in a sense, that helps us survive. And as we've understood and studied in our previous series, when we've been going through all these different types of cognitive dissonance, all these type of different ways that our brain gets things wrong and makes mistakes and jumps to conclusions that are not necessarily the correct ones. Well, one of those things that we have been over again and again is that bias, that confirmation bias, that bias that really we just like things to be the way they are. We don't really like things to change very much. And we just generally, we tend to look for things that confirm our preconceived prejudices. And we find it very hard to accept things that challenge it. On the other hand, One of the things that drives us as human beings as well is variety. So it's interesting that we have this almost counterbalance, this counterweight in our nature, this almost this anxiety, this want for change, this need for change. And that's really why we recognize ultimately the hero. That's what makes the hero heroic. That's what makes them special. What makes them special, what makes them heroic, is they go against the grain. They leave the ordinary life behind. They resist what is ordinary, and they go after what is extraordinary. And that is something as human beings we value. We happen to value something that is rare. And we give value to rare things. And in a sense, the more rare a thing is, the reality is, it's often the more that we value it. That's why I suppose gold is considered a medium of currency in exchange, because it's comparatively rare. I mean, there's lots of other reasons, right? But scarcity, it's the principle of scarcity. When something is scarce, we value it more. And that's especially true if something has utility. If something's actually useful for us and it is scarce, then that thing becomes more and more precious. And I think what we're going to see is everyone ultimately realizes, and that's the point, is that at the end, people realize the value of the hero. Because at the end of the whole story, the hero is going to bring something back to the community that is going to make it better, that is going to improve their lives, that is going to make the world in some way, shape, or form, however little way, they're going to make the world a better place, right? So, but let's talk about the first question, the ordinary life. Well, what's wrong with an ordinary life, you may ask? What's wrong with being normal and being unassuming? Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love the simple people? Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love the people who are unknown? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, there is a beautiful incident where one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with his companions and a man passed by. And the Prophet asked his companions who were sitting with him, "What do you think of this man?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah, he is the best from amongst us. He's the most, everyone would like to be like him. Because if this man, if he intercedes, if he goes and he seeks, you know, intercession, meaning if he goes and asks for something, people are going to listen to him. So he's a man that is listened to. He's a man whose opinion is, you know, valued. And if he was going to propose to some woman to marry, he would not be refused. And, you know, so he's, you know, and he's wealthy and he's this." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he waited a while. And then another man came by. He said, "What do you think of this one?" "Oh, Messenger of Allah, he's really, you know, like, unfortunate." He's like, you know, this guy, if he talked to someone and he tried to get his opinion listened to, no one would give him any attention. And if he was going to try and get married, he would be refused and rejected. Why? Because he's, you know, he's poor, he's unassuming, he's, you know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something along the lines of, "Verily, in the sight of Allah, one of these ones that you consider the least is more valued in the sight of Allah than a world full of the first one." And so this is something, subhanAllah, counterintuitive. It's something that really goes against the grain of what we think is normal. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does love the unassuming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that, you know, the poor will enter paradise 500 years before the wealthy. So there are many, many benefits and virtues of simplicity, of poverty. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, actually, despite his position and his status, lived a very unassuming life. His life in his house was very simple. He slept on a very simple mattress that was stuffed with reeds. There was nothing in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he died except cleanliness. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you came across the Prophet sitting with a group of people, you may not know who he was. In fact, this is what happened. Once a man came looking for the Prophet, he said, "Which one of you is Muhammad?" Because the Prophet was sitting with his companions and the man couldn't see, because the Prophet wasn't sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting on a throne. He wasn't. The man had to ask, "Which one of you is Muhammad?" Subhanallah. It just shows how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So what do we mean then, right? The thing is, brothers and sisters, when you think of a hero, I guess obviously in many ways, shape and form, the idea of a hero is shaped by the movies and the stories that we hear. But you think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You think about these people the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling us of their virtues. They were heroes. Because remember, the hero has this call to adventure. And he is going to live an extraordinary life, not an ordinary life. So already the clue is there. These people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was identifying as, you know, being valued in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That itself is going against the normative values that people had in this society, and that is what we find again and again, that Islam is often telling us those things, that sometimes the things that we may imagine are so important and that are considered to be important amongst us are not important in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very often the things that people do not consider important are very valued and important in the sight of Allah. But remember here that everybody is the hero of their own journey. In reality, the hero and being heroic and going on the journey, the hero's journey, for you to embark on the journey of the true hero, it is not about what other people think about you. It is not how you are in the estimation of others, in the eyes of others, in the account of others. Not at all, brothers and sisters. The hero's journey is about how you are in the sight of Allah, of course. And it is also about yourself, because in reality, those are the only real measurements that count. How you are in front of Allah and how you are in front of yourself. These are the only two things that matters, because it is very possible that you could be despised and hated by the generality of people, but you are heroic in the sight of Allah. And in your own heart, in your own mind, that you know that you have taken the right course of action. And of course, when you look at the hero's journey, that's by definition what it is going to be. Because the moment that you step away from the ordinary, the moment that you decide to do something different from what everybody else is doing, then you're going to meet opposition. That's inevitable. You're definitely going to meet opposition. As Waraka, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation, and you know, he went to Khadija, and then Khadija reassured him, and they went to go and see Waraka. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Waraka about what had happened, he was a cousin of the Prophet, and he had converted. He was, you know, he was a Christian, and he used to write some pages of the Injil. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no one came with what you have. He recognized that he was the messenger of Allah, and that the angel that had come to him was Jibreel. And he said, no one has come with what you have come, except that they will be rejected by the people. Now, it's important that the hero in no way, shape or form is trying to be rejected. And some people make this mistake. You know, they make themselves strange on purpose. And yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam came as something strange, and it will return as something strange. So Tuba, which means glad tidings, or it is a tree in paradise for the strangers, the ghuraba. This is the reality of this journey of the true hero, is that you're going to be a stranger. You're going to be a stranger to yourself. You're going to be a stranger to your family. You're going to be a stranger to your society. That is all part of what makes it so heroic. That's all part of what makes it something so compelling. That is all part of what makes it something that is a story that is told over and over again by so many different people in so many different ages and so many different cultures, because there is a challenge, because it is difficult. But it doesn't need to be something that is necessarily epic and impressive to people. Like I said, brothers and sisters, the very nature of it may be that it is quite the opposite. It may be quite unassuming. And the path of the hero may not be at all what people imagine. In fact, it very often isn't. It very often isn't what people imagine to be heroic at all. So again, brothers and sisters, the hero's journey is not about impressing others. It's not about being heroic in their eyes. That is a big mistake, because that itself would be the opposite of what the whole hero journey, the whole journey of the hero is ultimately about. Because in reality, brothers and sisters, this call to adventure, this call to adventure by necessity is usually the impetus of it is a realization of a danger, of a threat that is being faced by the community, right? So it's not really a threat to you as an individual. What motivates in many cases the hero is the realization that there is a threat to the people they love, a threat to their community, a threat to what is important to them. And that threat could be an external physical threat, or it could be an existential threat. And it's very interesting, brothers and sisters, that subhanAllah, when you read the life of the prophets in the Quran, you read, look at Lut alayhi salam. Look how the people are treating him. Look how they are abusing him. Look how rude and unjust and brutal they are in their treatment of him. Yet he is motivated by such compassion. He really cares about them. He cares about his people. All of the prophets, they care deeply about their people. They want them to be guided. They want them to be on the right path. They want them to be helped. They want them to leave the bad state they are in, because they fully realize and understand the impending danger. So brothers and sisters, listen, right? What is this about? It's when I say leading an ordinary life, I don't mean not being a simple, straightforward person. I don't mean not being unassuming, because that's fine. You can be all of those things, and you should be all of those things. You're not setting out to be some superstar. You're not setting out to be some ego figure. That's not what it's about. Believe me, this is the exact opposite of what it truly means to be heroic in the true sense, right? What it really is about an inward journey. What it really is about fulfilling your potential, your real potential, being the best that you can be, fulfilling your potential. And only Allah can judge that, and only you truly know in your heart whether you have done that. That's the question, brothers and sisters. That's the issue. Are you really fulfilling your potential? Are you really fulfilling your life's purpose? Are you really making the best of the gifts that Allah has given you? And that's only something that Allah is going to judge, and that's only something that you're going to know in your deepest, deepest of hearts. So let us remember, so it all comes down to something that we have been emphasizing over and over and over again, the issue of niyyah, the issue of intention, the issue of motivation. What is your intention? What is your motivation? What drives you, brothers and sisters? That's what it comes down to, right? What are you going to do with your life? And this is an important question, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the 2 feet of the son of Adam will not move from their place in front of their Lord until they are asked about 5. Your life and what you did with it, your health and how you cared for it, your money and how you earned it and how you spent it, and your knowledge and how you acted upon it. The first one, your life and what you did with it. Your feet, my feet will not move from their place in front of Allah until He has asked us, what did you do with your life? You see? What? And so look, we don't need to wait now. I'm asking you now. Ask yourself now, what have you done with your life? And what does that mean? What is implicit in that question that Allah is going to ask you? What is implicit, brothers and sisters, is that Allah gave you the gift of life. He gave you health. He gave you life. He gave you a mind. He gave you intelligence. Your mind is the same as my mind. It is. Okay, like we may have, you know, be wired in different ways. We have, you know, I may have stronger neural pathways about some things than you. But what I'm saying is, for nearly everybody, the basic structure of your mind is the same. The basic capabilities of your mind is the same. We have flexibility. This is something, subhanAllah, that scientists have become more and more aware of, is the amazing adaptability and flexibility of our mind. We can keep on learning. We can do extraordinary things if we are ready to put in the effort. If we are ready to put in the effort. And I've talked about this many, many times, right? It's all about how do we strengthen those connections in our brain. What we give our attention to, what we give our focus to, that is what formulates and that is what trains our mind to make us better and better at those things, right? So that is what talent really is. Talent is really just focused and dedicated application to keep on pushing yourself to improve yourself, brothers and sisters. And this is the question. What have you done with your life? What have you achieved? And again, please don't get me wrong. What have you done and what you have achieved does not mean how have you impressed everybody else. Did someone write an epic poem about me? Did I get an obituary in the Times? Did I reach the 200 most influential Muslims? No, that's not what we're talking about. Those things are not important in the sight of Allah. Did you have a nice house? Did you have a nice car? How many kids did you have? You know, these things are not important. Allah does not look at our external being, how we are externally. Allah is looking at our hearts, brothers and sisters. Allah is looking at our heart. Have we purified it? Have we made our intentions pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we understood the essence of who we are? Are we worshipping Allah sincerely and worshipping Him alone? This is what is important, brothers and sisters, right? This is what is important, okay? So when Allah is asking us, what have you done with your life? What have you achieved? The point being is, you know, all of us need to realize our potential. We have so much potential. We really do. Absolutely, our potential is huge. And most of us totally underestimate how much we are really capable of. honestly, brothers and sisters, in no way, shape, or form do I consider myself an extraordinary person. I am not extraordinarily intelligent. I'm not an extraordinary person in any way, honestly. But subhanAllah, when I think about the things that Allah has allowed me to achieve in my life, and I don't mean from the point of these things may not necessarily be impressive or necessarily important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the point of view of things that are pleasing to Allah. But I'm just saying, I get amazed how Allah has given someone like me, and I look at my life and subhanAllah, I think that I have learned to be good at a lot of things. A lot of things. And I sometimes it's just so many when I think of the list of them, and I just keep thinking of more and more and more. And again, I honestly, in no way, shape, or form do I think of myself as extraordinary. But simple things that most of us, most of you listening today, can do these things. But, you know, learning to read, learning to write, learning basic arithmetic. You know, some of the simplest things that are just simple life skills, they are actually quite extraordinary to think what took place for you to be able to master them. So, brothers and sisters, the point is, what have you done with your life? Like, Allah is going to ask you, you have to answer this question. What have you done with your life? What have you done with the gifts? But let me think of, you know, some things that may surprise you in terms of the answers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be looking for. How about I served my husband, I served my wife, I served my family? You see, now today, in this day and age, maybe a woman is expected to have a career. She's expected to earn money. She's expected to be a doctor or a CEO, or I don't know, so many extraordinary things. But these are not things that are important to Allah. Absolutely not. The things that are dear and beloved to Allah, I'm not saying you can't do these things, by the way. I'm not saying that you can't do these things with a good intention and achieve many great things and beneficial things in Islam. But primarily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah consider to be extraordinary? What is extraordinary in the sight of Allah is a woman who is serving and caring and looking after her husband. Now, I know some of you may be going, oh, patriarchy, this and that. Look, okay, let's agree. Okay, I'm not saying this is easy. This is the point. It's not necessarily an easy thing, and it's not necessarily a pleasant thing, because from our perspective as Muslims, oh, and by the way, from the perspective of the journey of the true hero, this is not pleasant. This is challenging. This is difficult. This is hard. This is a struggle. This is about fighting demons and monsters. Yeah. The hero's journey is a hard journey. It's a challenge. It's difficult. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman who obeys, who fulfills her Islamic duties, she prays five times a day, she fasts Ramadan, and she does her duties, like Islamic duties, and she serves and obeys her husband, will be told, enter paradise by whichever gate you please. SubhanAllah, it is not a cheap thing to enter paradise. But the reward of this is so great. This may seem mundane. This may seem like nothing. But it is not mundane. It is not nothing. It is extraordinary. And it is hard. And it is challenging. And it is difficult. But it's something that is very pleasing to Allah. Why? Because it is difficult and it is challenging and it is hard. And this is what the hero does. Remember the essence of the hero's journey. the essence of this call to adventure, and it is an adventure, is the realization that there is a need beyond my need. The journey's hero, the hero's journey is not a selfish thing. The hero is not motivated and cannot be motivated by selfishness, by just fulfilling their own desires and whims. And if it is some narcissistic drive for, you know, glorification, that's not heroic. Absolutely not. That's not what the hero is about. It wouldn't really be heroic, then, would it? Other people may think that person's heroic, but inside that person's self is just doing what he or she finds nice and comfortable and easy for themselves. So brothers and sisters, you see, that's the hero. The hero is serving the community. What they do for the greater good. This is the essence of what the hero is about. So it could be that. Obeying your husband, caring for your children, your mother. Look at this, right? A man comes, the Muslims are just about, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are just about to go on a ghazwa. A ghazwa is like an expedition, a fighting expedition. The Muslims would go out and they would have these battles, and, you know, so this is a ghazwa. And so this young man, he wants to go, and he obviously is full of motivation by the great rewards of participating in this struggle, in this ghazwa. And, you know, he wants to go, and he wants to join the armies. He wants to go and join the soldiers. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this man, "Do you have a mother?" Because he comes, he says, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I want to participate in this struggle. I want to participate in this." And the Prophet says, "Do you have a mother?" He says, "Yes." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Go home and serve her." Subhanallah. You see, brothers and sisters, go home and serve your mother. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that serving your mother is greater than even participating in this fighting. That's, again, is very, very counterintuitive. We immediately think of people who are soldiers and who fight for their queen and their country and their land and their flag and all of this and that. We think of them as being heroic, and not necessarily at all. In fact, some of those people may be the worst tyrants and the worst oppressors, and they may just be on the path of tyranny and oppression and injustice and wrongdoing. You don't often think of someone. You see, here's the thing, is that the ordinary life. What is the ordinary life? What do you mean by the ordinary life? Yeah. In this case, this young man, him serving his mother is extraordinary. That's the heroic thing for him to do. That's his call to adventure. Not going and participating in a battle. No. The same with Uthman, when the Prophet, when it's, and this is the Battle of Badr, and Uthman's wife, who's the daughter of the Prophet, is ill, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders him to stay to look after his wife. That is extraordinary, brothers and sisters. That is extraordinary. It is not always what we think it is. You look at Anas, who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was heroic what he did in its own way. So I think if you now understand really what is going on here, I don't want you to think of being heroic in, you know, New Avengers terms, right? I don't even want you to think of it in, you know, the in terms necessarily of the stories we hear of the great heroes of Islam. No, you have to understand what being heroic is for you. What does it mean for you? right? And often it means doing the hard thing, doing the difficult thing, doing the challenging thing, right? And challenging for you, difficult for you, heroic for you, brothers and sisters, right? So, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. This is very, very important to reframe this whole idea, this whole journey, because this is about your journey. This is about what is your journey? What are you going to do with your life? Is it a bad thing to say that to Allah on the Day of Judgment, what did you do with your life? I sought paradise at the feet of my mother. I cared for my elderly mother. May his face be rubbed in the dust. The one who one or both of his parents reach old age and he doesn't enter paradise by serving them. SubhanAllah. So what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did you do with your life? You see, that is something, the right thing to say. That is not about, that's not nothing. That's something significant. That is something important. You see, it's something extraordinary. But it depends on you and your capabilities and your possibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented you. And the point being here is that when you do it, when you are serving your mother, when you are serving your family, when you are serving your husband or your community or whatever it is you may be doing, you may do other things. You may do things that people do consider to be heroic because it's impressive in a sense to the wider community, right? You may go and, you know, help the orphans and the needy and give food to the starving and liberate the oppressed. And yes, that might, all of that is included as well. But again, it's not because people are going to consider you heroic. That is not what it's about. It's about what are your capabilities? What are the talents and the skills and the abilities that Allah has given you, and how are you utilizing those in the best way? Yeah. So this is the ordinary life, which is contrasted with the call away from the ordinary life. It's for you to be extraordinary. And yes, you do need to be extraordinary. You do need to do whatever you do in an extraordinary way. And that's what's important. It's really about having ihsan. You see? And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Allah has prescribed ihsan in all things. Right? So when you slaughter well, you think, well, you know, slaughtering an animal to eat, you know, no, but when you do it in the best and the best way that you can. It's not a pleasant task to take the life of a living creature. It's not pleasant, but you do it in the best way, the most merciful way, the kindest way, right? You take your time to do it in, and you take your time to do it in the way that is best and most pleasing to Allah. That's what it means. Whatever you do, do it with ihsan, as if you are seeing Allah, but you don't see Allah, but you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. So this, brothers and sisters, this is the first part of the call to adventure, the ordinary life, and then the call. The call, who knows what the call may be, brothers and sisters? The call, but fundamentally, the essence of the call is really something that is challenging, that is threatening your community. The key here is it's something outside yourself. It's not about you. It's not about what is making you comfortable. It is not about what is making your life easier in the simple sense. Because this is going to involve struggle. This is going to involve effort. This is going to involve taking you outside of your comfort zone. This is what it's about. You have this comfort zone. You have this zone where you feel comfortable. You need to step out of that to achieve more, to excel, You are going to have to keep pushing yourself. That's what it means. What did you do with your life? Did you keep pushing yourself? Did you keep trying to excel? Did you keep trying to improve and do things in an extraordinary way? And I don't mean things, I mean good things, right things, things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So this is the hero. The hero, his call is a threat. That is something that is threatening his community. Well, you know, in the case, it could be your mother. Her old age is a threat, isn't it? If you think about it, it's a threat to her comfort. It's a threat to her well-being. You see, it's not a threat to you, right? It's something that in some way, and the prophets, of course, in the case of the prophets, it is the understanding that these people are disobeying Allah. The threat to them is the threat of hellfire. The threat to them is the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment coming upon them because of their disobedience and their misguidance. It could be so many things. It could be so many things, brothers and sisters. Things that may seem huge and things that are relatively small. And again, just it may not be one thing. It may be, in fact, many things, brothers and sisters, right? But the key is that you are going to be serving someone or something other than yourself. Yes, and it is inevitably going to mean resisting your desires, resisting your nafs, resisting what is comfortable and easy for you, and putting yourself in some way, shape, or form in danger. Yes, that's what it is. It's going to be a threat. It's going to be a danger to you. This is the nature. Enjoying the right and forbidding the wrong. Speaking up for what is true. Speaking against falsehood and injustice and oppression. Of course, this is going to be potentially a threat to your comfort and your well-being. But what needs to be said needs to be said. What needs to be done is what needs to be done. Standing up for truth, standing up for what is right, a lot of the time, is not easy. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? You see, the greatest jihad, the greatest struggle, is to speak truth in the face of an unjust ruler. Because that ruler has the ability to make your life miserable, to take everything away from you. How courageous is it to stand in the face of a tyrant in front of them and to tell them about the wrong that they are doing? Like Ibrahim did, like Musa did, for example. Anyway, brothers and sisters, this is the call to adventure. All of us have a call to adventure. Not just once, but many, many times. Maybe even a few times a day, you might get a call to adventure. It may be one big call to adventure. Who knows? This thing also can happen over and over and over. Maybe it doesn't just happen once. Maybe it happens many, many times, brothers and sisters. That is it for today. Alhamdulillah, I hope you enjoyed and are enjoying our exploration of the journey of the true hero. And I hope you're understanding a little bit what it means really to be a hero, really. Okay. So until next time, brothers and sisters, we will continue, inshallah, if Allah gives us life. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.